open, our only expectation be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this worship service by singing Psalm 85, the stanzas 1 and 3. Psalm 85, the stanzas 1 and 3. Beloved, the scripture reading in this evening hour you can be found in God's holy and infallible word in the book of Genesis chapter 25. But first we will confess our faith by the words of the 12 articles. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We repeat the scripture reading, Genesis 25, from verse 20 to the end. Genesis 25, from verse 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in their womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was threescore years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint, and therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, Swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So far the scripture reading. Let us pray together. O Lord, may it be with reverence when we approach to thee in prayer this evening hour, when we have nothing but sin to show and nothing but sin to provoke thee in anger. Lord, thou hast so much reasons to leave us because we have left thee days without number. And that we may confess our sin before thee in accepting of our punishment. We are more than worthy to be punished. O Lord, take reasons out of thyself to draw us, to lead us, to save us in Christ, because we all are traveling to eternal destruction in our carnal nature. And that is the way we have chosen in paradise, but pull us back to thee and lead us through the narrow gate, which is Christ, the narrow way, which is also Christ, and that we may find grace in thy eyes as a hell-worthy sinner who hath to condemn himself because we are condemnable and we have no right to escape the judgment of hell. But thou hast the right, O Lord, to save us, because thou hast sent thy begotten Son to look after lost sinners and to save them. Lord, that we may preach thy word with confidence and with love, that sinners may be touched by thy word, by thy gospel, to become a sinner before thee. Lord, be with thy church worldwide, especially with the persecuted church. Be a firewall around them, protect them, and be near to them. Lord, be with the widows, widowers and the widows, and the orphans. Comfort them, O Lord, because thou art more than 10 sons. We have so much to ask, but let thy children rejoice in thee. Thou art so worthy to be praised. Be with us in speaking and listening, and bless thy own witnesses. O Lord, we pray thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved, in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we will think about the birth of Esau and Jacob and what God has provided in his eternal counsel for Jacob and Esau. And after the marriage between Isaac and Rebekah, it looks like Rebekah was barren. It doesn't look like it was so. And Isaac beseeches God for it in the presence of his wife. Because Isaac may plea on the covenant that God has established with Abraham, because it says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God to thee and to thy seed after thee." So Isaac prays in according to God's will, and that kind of prayers will be surely heard by God. And the barren Rebekah became pregnant through a miracle, but there is war within Rebekah. What do you mean, preacher, with war? Well, it says, "And the children struggled together within her." So when Jacob and Esau had not been born, they quarreled already. And that is quite something. That is the result of our deep fall. Forbearing didn't need to be painful. If he had not sinned, bearing didn't need to be painful. But Jacob and Esau have never been able to live together, not in the womb of Rebekah and not in daily life. And this showed already in Rebekah's womb, for they struggled together. But the war inside Rebekah and in the womb was promised in the mother promise, you know, in the mother promise in paradise, because the Lord had said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and she shall crush thy head, and thou shalt crush his heel." You can read it in Genesis 3, verse 15. And then Rebekah said, "If it be so, why am I this?" She didn't understand anything of it and went to inquire of the Lord. That is always the best way. To ask the Lord. In every circumstances we are. And then the Lord himself revealed to Rebecca what's going on in her womb and what would become of the twins. Now, because it says, and Jehovah said to her, two nations are in thy womb, and two people shall be separated from thy bowels, and one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. So, it was said to Rebecca, like Paul repeated in Romans 9, verse 13, the greater shall serve the less. According as it is written, I have loved Jacob and I have hated Esau. And that's the word of God. We didn't make a distinction. And we do not make a distinction. The Lord does. And the first one she called Esau. Now, what does mean Esau? And the perfect one. Esau means the perfect one. So, that's a nice name, the perfect one. And the second she called Jacob, which means heel holder. Heel holder. Is that the right word? Heel holder? Now, Isaac was the perfect one. He was honest, big, strong, and straight. But Jacob was weak, and he was a deceiver, a heel holder. Deceiver. Now, can you believe that Jacob was the elected one by God? Can you believe that? I don't understand that, and that is the reason I don't understand that I am saved by Christ. That's always the reason of all God's people. God is looking, always is looking for the worst. I cannot help that the Lord looks after me, and that He was picked me up from the street, and that He was led me in His palace, in the inner room of His treasures. So, that is a privilege of the bride of Christ. Jacob was a man who had pulled his brother's leg. He was a deceiver. And Esau was a man who could help you. He was strong and straight. He could help you with everything. And Isaac and Rebecca could trust him. You could rely on Esau. But Jacob was unreliable. He was a deceiver. Yeah, we would say this, but man looked on the outward appearance, but the Lord looked on the heart. He looked on the heart of Christ. Because from the history it appears that Jacob's heart was by no means better than Esau's. But the Lord says in various places in His word, I loved Jacob and I hated Esau. God has loved Jacob, the deceiver, and hated Esau, the perfect one. Can you understand this? I hear somebody saying, but it is not but is this not unfair? Now, beloved, God is perfectly righteous. May not He, the creator of all flesh, know whom He chooses and causes to approach unto Him, that He may dwell in his courts? Jacob has been elected by God from eternity to show forth His praise out of free grace. And Esau has been rejected through his own fault. What happened? Now let us go back to the tent of Jacob and Rebecca. Jacob and Esau had become sturdy boys. But they had a different traits of character. Esau was big and strong. He was a hunter. And early in the morning, when others were still in bed and still sleeping, he went out to get some venison for his father, who loved his son very much because of that venison. For it says, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. Somebody says, that was a love of the flesh, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. That's right, though. But Isaac was still a sinner. But glory to God, he was a saved sinner. Isaac feared the Lord very much. But over against Esau, he did altogether wrong. Yeah. Is that God's people? Yeah, that's God's people. That was not in agreement of God's will that Isaac loved Esau. Concerning this, Isaac didn't live close to the Lord, for his seed was at stake. And God's people may very well be very far from that they should be. And they are also flesh. God's children are not so spiritual. No. And nowadays one often has his salvation in his pocket, but Isaac had to live by grace, and therefore you meet flesh with Isaac. When you have a dog, and when he is wet, when he becomes wet, then he smells. Then you know that you have a dog. You understand that? God's people has both, good and evil. And the hypocrite has only good. But God's people is only flesh. Yeah. And nowadays you often meet people who talk as if they are no flesh anymore. But don't believe this. For a man has no flesh. Oh yes, yes. But he is flesh. Just after grace received. And Paul says, after grace received, I am fleshly sold under sin. Now Reformed Arminian says, what Paul has written in Romans 7 verse 14, I am fleshly sold under sin, he has written before his conversion, they said. But that is a lie. After grace, God's people find out that they are totally fleshly, sold in the sin because of the spirituality of the law. The law is spiritual. And they have experience of that law. And the law is spiritual. Now, we cannot be the same as the law. So, the service of the law says, and we feel it, God's people feel it, because of the law, that we are totally fleshly, sold under sin. That is what the law shows. Romans 7, verse 14, and you know the sermon of Kolbrugge about Romans 7, verse 14. Important sermon that he has written, Paul has written before his conversion. But that is a lie. Kolbrugge shows and prove it that Romans 7 verse 14 Paul has written after his conversion. After grace, God's people find out that they are totally fleshly because the law is spiritual. But Rebecca, it says, loved Jacob. Why? Because Jacob feared the Lord. Jacob had a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Jacob loved being with mother in the tent most. And Jacob had rather be behind the sink, so to say, and they're roaming in the field like Esau. Somebody says, and which of you appeals you the most? Be honest. According to us, Esau is doing fine, or not? And Jacob, what can one do with him? With that boy in the tent. But Rebecca had different thoughts, for with Jacob she found a willing ear, as for spiritual matters, and that will become even clearer, for it says, and Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And do you know what he said to Jacob? Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage. And Jacob said, and that is the point, do you know what he said? Sell me thy birthright this day, right now. And what Jacob couldn't attain with his brother with money or gold, he managed with the simple plate of soup. His name is Jacob. His name is an indication of how he acted in the flesh. That was a craftiness and a deceit. When God converts a man in the church, he will find out what his name meant, namely a deceiver. For what you confess or orally in the church has no foundation with God to be called a child of God. For that you need to have a share in the covenant blessing which Jacob is going to steal. For listen well, the plate of pottage belonged to Esau as well as to Jacob, mind you. Jacob should have given it to at Esau's request, but Jacob catched Esau in his own net, namely exchanging a little plate of soup for a little birthright blessing, at least in Esau's eyes. For Esau despised his birthright because he swore to Jacob that he would sell his right for a plate of cottage of lentils. But what was the value of this pottage compared to the birthright blessing? But Esau doesn't matter of it. Esau says, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall his birthright do to me? We all sold our soul to the devil in paradise. And by nature we are all the same like Esau. Esau he sells his birthright for a plate of soup. Now that is what we have done in paradise. And Esau excluded himself from salvation, and we did the same. Esau, a covenant child, despised the covenant blessing. He was infatuated with a plate of pottage at the expense of his birthright. For it says, then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and he rose up and went his way, because Esau despised his birthright. Now, beloved, when you perish, it will be your own fault. For nobody needs to get lost, because of the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. Church people, all of you have the covenant sign on your foreheads, and don't ever despise the blessing connected with it by means of a saving faith. For God promises without any doubt that he will bless you with an everlasting blessing in the way of conversion and believing in Christ. Don't despise the riches of his goodness, but bow your knees before the Most High Majesty. He saves souls when death draws nigh. And don't deprive yourself of an everlasting good, of the everlasting good. Somebody says one should be converted for this. But my friend, God is willing to grant you this, but you don't want it. Yes, you want to go to heaven for fear of punishment, but God wants to be served for his own sake. And that happens by faith, working through love. Yea, by the faith of Christ and his love. If a sinner comes to the judgment seat of God in his conscience, by the drawing love of the Father, that implies that he accepts his punishment on sin wholeheartedly. And such a soul will acquit God and condemn himself. Look, when you will be what you are, a lost sinner, then you become a lost sinner. And for such people Christ has come, namely to save lost sinners, of whom I am chief, says the Apostle Paul. Now, I also know that the Pharisee is furious when he say, believe in Christ and you will be saved. For the Pharisee seeks to be saved through the works of the law. But living through faith means doing nothing. Nothing at all. But believe the gospel and you will be saved. I'm using the language of the Bible for when you say that is too easy for me. Then we have to tell you, don't live through free grace. And this statement is founded in God's word and nobody wants to. And do you believe that you are lost? Not that you get lost. Do you believe that Christ has died for the ungodly, for wretched sinners, for dead dogs, for great beasts, for murderers, for adulterers, for publicans, for hypocrites, for liars, for deceivers, for... Are you one of them? No? What are you? A Pharisee? An exemplary man? Or do you doubt now? Do you know what you are discovered of? You have asked if faith is a condition, haven't you? Now that is by no means the case. But if you don't believe, you make God conditional, whereas he commands you to believe in his Son. So when God commands a man to believe, then most people say, yes, but it doesn't go so easily as that. And why, oh soul, don't you see your need? Why don't you feel your need? Because you are in a terrible situation in your carnal nature. In Adam, we are in danger. We are in a very danger. And I must say that by nature we have an ungodly thoughts of God. Who he really is. And shall he say and not do it? No. No, we cannot work with God's commandments to believe, but unbelief is only in between. Unbelief separated us from God. Unbelief. So the fault is on our side, not on God's side. But Christ is willing to make us free from the bondage of sin. What is sin? Sin is a power. Sin is a power. Unbelief is also a power. That is a power. We cannot deliver ourselves from it. Nobody is able to deliver himself from the power of the sin. And would Christ be able to do this? God, the creator of heaven and earth, wouldn't he be able to grant you faith? No, God must do nothing. But the cause is in our deadly unwillingness. We don't want God to control our lives. So that by nature we live through, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. And somebody will say, if I understand well, then I am guilty of death if I don't believe. Well said, But don't you think that you can believe for one second? Room must made for that. The Lord must make room to believe. For by nature we are dead to death and dead to life, hence dead to faith. We don't feel any need. But as God commands us to repent and to believe in God who justifies the godly, freely we become guilty before the law for 100%, but also 100% before the gospel. So you won't ever have reason to deny your guilt. But it would be grace to be enabled to own our guilt. For if we embrace the fact that our sins are our debt before God, thereby justifying punishment on sin, the Lord would remember his covenant. And beloved, it will be quite something if God would look at such a sinner. For being saved is an eternal wonder, mind you. For in the impossibility of our existence before God's holy justice, the Lord is disclosed away in his dear Son. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that God will strip you in your fleshly existence with a heartfelt godly sorrow. And Isaac experienced what is meant, and it says, and there was a famine in the land, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And just like his father Abraham, Isaac had to stay in a strange country as a stranger. That is the life of God's people, to be a stranger in this world. And here God appears to Isaac and he confirms the covenant with him, that God has established with Abraham. In the eternity. God has established the covenant with his son. But he established that covenant with Abraham. And also with Isaac. But Isaac also calls Rebekah his sister. That's the same lie as Abraham did with his wife Sarah. When he sojourns in the land of the Philistines. So, as with Abraham, God's name is blasphemed for Isaac's sake because he lies for his wife. And that sin has been forgiven him, that's true. For God blessed Isaac because he was the promised seed, had the promised son. For Isaac had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Envy. That's what brought Isaac into trouble. For the Philistines filled the wells which Abraham's servants had dug out with earth, so that they could not be used anymore. And beloved, when God blesses you, then you can accept envy. For one cannot stand in that somebody has it better than oneself. As a result, Abimelech asked Isaac to leave because he thinks that Isaac has become mightier than he. So he's afraid of Isaac. And that was true, but this was not due to the abundance, possessions, cattle and servants, but it came from the God of Isaac. And therefore Isaac was mightier than Abimelech. And one mean one man with God, that means majority. As always the matter in the life of God's people. And that God will bring him in need, and that we are complete dependable from the Lord. And will you remember, young people in our midst, when you are at school or at a meeting to beseech God for his nearness, for then you will prevail. And that doesn't go automatically, but first it is necessary to become his own. But you may surely invoke his help even if you are not yet born again, for the Lord is not mean to anybody. No, he upholds man and beast. But we mean that you seek the kingdom of God first, and then all those things will be added unto you. And what you often need in this temporary life, you will get freely if you fear the Lord wholeheartedly. But that doesn't mean that everything is easy going in the life of grace. No, for the Lord may suffer many griefs upon the righteous to fall. But he will bring all of them safely through, delivering them from all. For Isaac leaves and lives at Gerar, but also there he is, begrudged a dwelling place for the Philistines' quarrel with Isaac herdsmen, because of the wells. But it is rather a struggle between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. There's always the same thing in every man's life when we fear the Lord. There's always a struggle between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen. And he called the name of the well Esek, which means quarreling. Now, Esek, quarreling. Now, people of God, is a well like that unfamiliar to you? Is that well unfamiliar like you to you? If it is right, you know such a well because you fear God. And Isaac knew another one as well, namely Sitna, which means enmity. The first well was Esek, quarreling, and the second well was Sitna, enmity. Because it said, they have hated me, they shall hate you likewise. That's what the Lord Jesus has said. And that's what the Savior says to his disciples. Do you know what may happen then? Well, you live somewhere and may fear the Lord. And one day they pick up a quarrel because they see that you fear the Lord. And now, beloved, that is a crown of honor. Mind you, it's a crown. But when you move away, you may think, I'm rid of it. I will be quieter now. But you are mistaken, for Sitna is to come. And that is worse than Esek, for in Sitna open enmity breaks out. Open enmity breaks out. They will hate you because of Christ. And then they do all that is possible to touch you. And do you know what is grace then, beloved? That you may command your cares to the Lord, so that you may hear out of his mouth, the Lord shall fight for you, the Lord shall fight your fights, and you shall hold your peace. And they drove Isaac away by harassing him, for it says, and he removed from thence, he didn't fight back, he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Rehoboth, that means the Lord has made room. Now, I know it in my own life. I know what it is, a well of Esek. I know what it is, a well of Sitna, a place of Sitna. But I know what it is, a place that the Lord has made room. And when God in Christ delivers you from Esek and from Sitna, then you come to Rehoboth. Do you know what I believe? That Isaac thought in Sitna already, the Lord has made room now. But it became a prison. When it was not possible any more, the Lord broke his bonds. And then the net is rent, and so escape are we, for it says, and he removed from thence. But Isaac couldn't sing yet, for there is a people on earth who cannot sing because of their delivery. Now the Lord will first confirm it in their hearts, before that people cannot sing, mind you. Nowadays one is glad with a trifle, but God's people rejoice in God. But they need God to rejoice in God. Just listen. In God the Lord I rest, his word of grace I praise. His promise stands secure, and nor fear nor foes dismays. And the psalmist couldn't sing until he had heard it from his mouth, from the mouth of the Lord. And beloved, that word of delivery God grants out of free grace, also in the way of true conversion to God. And how does it happen? It may be your question of life. How do I get reconciled to God? And do you really wrestle with this question, beloved? Children, has that become an emergency in your life? Or are they distress you can live with? Do you should understand well that Isaac was really in distress in Isaac and Sidna. It was a trial of Isaac's faith, but in the way of conversion you will get to deal with those Philistines, only they are in your heart, and then you will get a war inside. And beloved, be not deceived for eternity, but when God converts a man, there become war in his heart. John Bunyan called this the holy war. Yeah, there's an holy war. And you should read that book of the Pilgrim's Progress to Eternity. Bunyan was a man with some spiritual light in the ways of the Lord. And he relates how the Lord leads his people to heaven and what they can and will meet with. Now, I wholeheartedly recommend these books to you, and promise me that you will read them. Read that books, the old fathers. But first of all, promise me to that you will go to the Lord with all the questions of your life, like Isaac did. He has counsel for those that are their wits, and for his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And without his counsel, all your reading is weariness of the flesh. That's a waste of time. Beseech the Lord for discovering light, people of God in our midst. For in the impossibility of our existence, in the night of our life, God opens heaven in his Son. For it says in verse 24, and the Lord appeared to him, to Isaac, the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father, fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And Isaac had moved to Beersheba, and there the Lord appeared to him again. That is the life of God's people, that the Lord reveal himself in our life, in our circumstances, in our hearts. And Isaac built an altar, and he called upon the name of the Lord. And then Isaac could sing. Then they sang, Almighty man, why wilt thou boast thyself in hateful cruelty? When God Almighty is most kind and ever merciful, is he. But the church also sings with endless thanks, O Lord, to thee, thy wondrous works will I proclaim. And in the presence of thy saints, will have ever hope in thy good name. And do you know, beloved, what happened then? Yeah. Time continues, eh? And then Abimelech pays a visit to Isaac. And Isaac could not understand that. For he said to him, "Wherefore come ye to me, seeing you hate me, and have sent me away from you?" First they had chased him away, and now they come to visit him. Do you know why? Now it says in God's word, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days I shall come to pass that ten men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirts of him that is a Jew, saying, 'We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.'" What does that mean? That means that many will be brought in from all languages, people and nations, and many will join the Christian church. But Isaac knew that Abimelech hated him because of all God's blessings. Eh? Yeah, when they see that God is blessing you, then they become angry. Anger. And yet, Abimelech and his attendants say, "We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee, and we said, 'Let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee.'" So, you can read it in verse 28 and 29. And why does Abimelech say that? Now, Abimelech had become afraid because his men had harassed Isaac near the water wells of the fathers, and he knew who the Lord was. Abimelech had experienced that with Abraham because of Sarah, and also with Isaac because of Rebekah, and he feared that God. Not with a childlike fear, but with a slavish fear. For he understood that God was with Isaac, and that he must be reconciled with Isaac, because he feared that otherwise God would punish him. So, actually, Proverbs 16 applies here, for it says, "When a man's ways please God, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." And that's what happens here. The enemies of God, God's church, often submit themselves because of the power of Christ. For Christ doesn't have much power. No, Christ doesn't have much power. No. He testifies in the gospel after Matthew 28, "All power is given me in heaven and on earth." Not much, all power. Christ is almighty. And that is the only reason why Abimelech is submitted to Isaac, to make a covenant with him. And then the world must be subservient to serve the people of God. And in the meantime, Jacob and Esau had become 40, and Esau took himself wives from the Canaanites and the enemies of the governing people, the Jews. And these women were heathen women, heathen women, filled with an heathen spirit. For it says in verse 35, "which were a grief of mind to Isaac and to Rebekah." And youth, will you honor your parents? Won't you cause this to grieve your parents to your parents? For it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, so that thy days may be lengthened in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee." But Esau, he was disobedient to his father and mother, and what was worse, he was disobedient to God. And now, young people, you may think you hold out against the legal authority of your father and mother, but there comes a day that you have to give an account of your stewardship. Yeah. And we all shall have to appear before the judgment seat before the judge of heaven and earth. And what an objection can we give to God? Yeah, to the God who is holy and is a count and is a consuming fire and an everlasting burnings with whom nobody can dwell. Yeah, unless through free grace we belong to the faithful Savior with both body and soul. Now Jacob was granted to share in it, but Esau wasn't. And that was the difference between Jacob and Esau, you may ask. What was actually the difference between Jacob and Esau? Now there was no difference at all between the two, but the distinction is shown by God, by God's word, in which the Lord himself says, I loved Jacob and I hated Esau. And we can find that in various places in the word. So God makes a distinction where there is no, where there is none by nature. Only God can do that. And he does. He does. If we had to make that distinction, then we would choose those who God rejects. We don't do that, do we? Oh no. Well, Father Isaac does. And we can read that in Genesis 27. And the chapter tells us that Isaac asked his son Esau to go hunting because he wants to eat of the venison once more before he might die. And Isaac had become an old man, and he didn't know the day of his death. But that was not the final purpose. The venison, no. Isaac wanted to bless Esau with the birthright blessing. And that was the reason. But Isaac has sold the birthright for a dish of pottage to Jacob. Esau has sold the birthright of a dish of pottage. Esau has forgotten this already for a long time. And Father Isaac didn't know anything about it. But Isaac should have known better. For God had elected Jacob and not Esau. And Isaac knew that. And however, just like Abraham, Isaac wants to obtain the promise of God with the son of the bondwoman and not with the free man. You know, Isaac was the free man. Isaac was the free son. And Ishmael was the son of the bondwoman. For Isaac loved Esau because of the venison. And Isaac made flesh his arm. But let us not think, beloved, we are better than Isaac, for we also make flesh our arm. And what an eternal wonder would it be if God make us discover this. And that we don't only make flesh our arm, but that we are flesh and nothing else. And that is a discovering, that we are flesh and nothing else, like Isaac. Look, there are always people who want to be spiritual, but they are flesh. And Isaac made flesh his arm, but he was spiritual. He was a child of God. There is no doubt about it. For Isaac was after God's promises. Only the application he made with the wrong one. All God's people know this. You should ask them. We make always a wrong application of the promises of God. Just look at Samuel. When he had to anoint a king for Israel. Now, then all those sons of Jesse stood before them, and it went wrong 7 times. That great prophet Samuel went wrong 7 times. For Samuel also looked at the outward appearance. It was not Samuel that had chosen David. No. It was God's election. Just ask the people of God. And they will tell you if they are in the right condition. And at least if you are in the right condition for discussion, grace is not so difficult. For do you know what fits us? Esau's venison. Yes. For we are just like Jonah's good. Within one day, it was a big tree with many leaves. It seems quite something, but it was nothing. Esau is not be sneezed at. Isaac didn't do that either. But do you know who Esau was for his father Isaac? Just like Jonah's good. For Jonah rejoices in that tree because of its covering against the hot sun. Now, but God prepared a worm and the tree withered. And in the same way, Isaac rejoiced in Esau because of the venison that was sweet for his belly. Yeah, for his stomach. But God had decreed otherwise, for he had loved Jacob and hated Esau. That is God's sovereignty. And do read Romans 9 about it with the marginal notes, and do this by all means. Then you can read it that the sovereign of God. But Jacob chose a crooked way. When Esau had gone to catch the venison, Rebekah had devised a trick. Yeah. For Rebekah loved Jacob. Also in spiritual sense. For Rebekah also feared the Lord. Both of them had spoken about the ways of God. Jacob and Rebekah in the tent. And they must have spoken about the blessing of the firstborn. You can be sure. You can be sure of that. And when the things threatened to take the wrong course, Rebekah thought, but this is not going to happen. No. Esau is not going to receive that blessing, for it is flatly against the will of God. And that was true, but she made also flesh her arm. For Jacob had to cover his arms with Esau's flesh. It is literal as carnal only. And Rebekah and Jacob were after eternal value of that blessing. And Esau didn't care whether he would inherit heaven or not. Isaac was after temporal enjoyment. But Esau was pure self-love. It was pure self-love. But for Jacob, it was love of God. That was grace, mind you. For by nature we are never really interested in God. But properly speaking, it was not the love of God with Jacob, but God loved Jacob. Now Rebekah wants to effectuate the blessing herself. For she says to her son Jacob, fetch me two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loved, and thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. But Jacob couldn't accept what his mother wanted to effectuate by means of a trick. For what was it? Rebekah wanted to mislead her own husband. But we should understand well, Isaac was determined to bless Esau against God's will. And I think that Rebekah was given to exercise, thou shalt hearken unto God more than unto men. For Rebekah loved Jacob not because of his sociable nature, but the more as Jacob feared the Lord, and Rebekah had learned from the Lord, the elder shall serve the younger. And the Lord had loved Jacob and hated Esau, and only she should have asked to the Lord for advice. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Now that is a lifelong lesson God's people need all their life to learn. For that people will find out that they are more flesh than spirit. Just after regeneration, they think that they are spirit. But the Lord will discover now that it is just the other way about. Now, well, that is disappointing, mind you. Yeah, for then it may happen that such a spiritual man suddenly discovered that that he proves to be an enemy of free grace. And they had never thought that. That is a discovering in the life of grace. For in their first love there is so little discovery, beloved. We need to be exercised in the ways of the Lord. But when the Lord goes on, he teaches people the reality of their existence before him. And what remains of all that is spiritual? Now we should ask Jacob, for it is in his history that we are speaking about. And then we must say that at the same time that the Bible deals with one people only, and that is Jacob-like people. And in the day, and in the last days, and in the last day, there remains only one people, and that is God's people. And somebody says, and the rest. Oh, the Lord himself says in his word, I have hated Esau. And that seems unjust, but that is because by nature man cannot think in a godly way anymore. After our fall in paradise, we cannot think in a godly way anymore. And he doesn't know God. And therefore he has created the God in his own image, and that is an idol. For beloved, you should mark well that by nature we cannot have any good thoughts concerning God, concerning our Creator. We are out of the earthly, dead to dead, but also dead in the matters of God. But for this, God has opened Rebecca's eyes for what was Rebecca wrestling with God's promises. Rebecca was wrestling with God's promises, not with flesh, with God's promises. Yeah. You may think that you are converted, but you have you ever wrestled with God's promises? Or do you understand at all what I'm talking about? Now look, Rebecca was a reborn woman. She had experienced God speaking in their life. She knew that God had promised her some things. But you cannot look through a promised glasses, do you? Rebecca had found that out. When I promise glasses to my child, she cannot look through. So, it is grace that you are enabled to find this out, for otherwise a man doesn't realize that a promise and its fulfillment are not the same thing. And I'm talking in the framework of the promise or for temporary life, because the promise of God, which are yes and amen in Christ, Christ is in the promise. That's different. Justification happens not through a promise, like a promise glasses. Justification happens through a free setting of the sun. When you are really free, then you are really free. Justification is not connected with a promise, but with a person, the Son of God. But as a divine person, who speak you free, and faith embrace not the promise, but Christ. That's the difference. And who set your soul free by his voice, speaking the promise to your soul with the power of his spirit. Yeah. But the promise which God has made to Abraham asks for a fulfilling, because the seed must come yet. The promised seed, which is Christ, has to come. And don't talk about faith now, for Rebecca did believe this. She has taken God at his word, really. But tell me, where does your faith remain when the fulfillment of one promise stays behind. Look, there are always people that speak of a great faith, eh? But nothing ever happens. And when something happens that's completely different, they don't believe anymore. But beloved, don't forget, mostly God's people have a small faith, but a great God. And Rebecca was also such a woman that that's why she said to Jacob, do it like this, do it like this. Little faith said, do it like this, because otherwise it ends in a disaster. Yeah, a little believer believes as long as everything is going all right. But if the temptation comes, then he fails. And flee to his doings to give, to give the Lord a hand. But first we'll sing Psalm 53. Verse 5, O Israel, you people of God's choice, that out of Zion might come your salvation, when from their bondage God shall free his nation, and let Jacob sing, and Israel rejoice with happy voice. Psalm 53, verse 5. Jacob said about his mother's command to cover his arms. He says, my father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. For Jacob had a smooth skin, and Esau was a hairy man. But however, Rebecca has had done all that was possible. For as a matter of fact, she had to give the Lord a hand. Now that always goes wrong. For letting God's work is the most impossible thing there is, mind you. For that you have to be at the end of your resources. But Rebecca has by no means reached that end. Oh no. She still knows very well what to do. She goes very far, for she says, "Upon me, by thy curse, my son, only obey my voice." So. Now. Then it must have been a matter of eternal interest to Rebecca. And it was so indeed. For everlasting salvation was linked to that blessing. But you say, that's impossible. This is not a matter of eternal salvation, isn't it? Yes, it is true. But not in the way you think. For who had promised? Who had that promised make? Well, that was God himself. So whose promise was it? Rebecca's of the Lord's. The Lord's, one of you will say. Right. For if God is the promiser, he is also the fulfiller. But do you know what God's people tries time and again to fulfill God's promise themselves? We see it in the life, we have seen it in the life of Abraham. He took Ishmael to fulfill the promise of God. He took Hagar, and later on he took Ishmael. But the Lord said, that was not he, but in Isaac will called thy seed. And that's what Rebecca was doing, for she saw that things would take a wrong turn then, because Isaac wanted to give his eldest son the covenant blessing. But if Rebecca had knelt down before the Lord, God would have given a way out, for sure. For what God has promised shall stand. But Rebecca was not sure of this at all. That was caused by the power of unbelief. That is also found. That is also in the life of grace. That they doubt. Jacob also acts out of unbelief, for he consents to his mother's request to deceive his father by putting the goat skin around his arms and his neck to feel and smell like Esau, and who always smelled of hunting and venison. Jacob also puts on Esau clothes to be sure that Isaac would be deceived. And beloved, do you know who Jacob was? A child of God in his worst condition. And who can distinguish between a seeming believer in his best condition and a true believer in his worst condition? Now Isaac, who was a father in grace, is to put to test to acknowledge this distinction. For it says, "And he, Jacob, came unto his father and said, My father. And he, Isaac, said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" Now we should keep in mind that Isaac was blind. He was an old man. He became blind. But in spite of his blindness, his mind is still clear. And he asks immediately, who art thou, my son? And why does Isaac ask this? Wasn't he sure of the reliability of his sons? Now, beloved, Isaac has learned to know something of Isaac. For one day he had deceived Abimelech for Rebekah's sake. Do you remember? And yes, that's what Isaac expected of his sons. Isaac was flesh, and he thought, my sons are also flesh, fleshly, sold under sin, deceivers by nature. And therefore, he think that Isaac wanted to make sure who was standing before him. Jacob, or whatever, or ISO. And then all the characteristics may be present, but this has no essence and value in respect to salvation. But also the other way about, all the characteristics may be present that indicate that the life of grace is lacking, but there can still be grace. But you should never think that God's work is a doubtful matter. Now for all that he works shall acclaim to his honor. But the condition of a person after receiving grace may be such that Jacob looks like Esau in all respects. And that is also his experience for people of God. If you belong to the people of Jacob, then Esau must often be experienced, so that Jacob is cleansed. For if you don't know who Esau is, you don't know either who Jacob is. Jacob knows Esau, but Esau don't know Jacob. Also in spiritual sense. So we shouldn't raise ourselves above Jacob, for God's people is always inclined to steal something. To steal something beside grace, just like superficial religion. However, those superficial religion people do nothing but steal. Nowadays, they call that applying to oneself. And they fill complete meetings with the topic of which they call the acceptance of faith. The acceptance of faith. But ask these people where and when they have accepted their sentence of death. And then you will find out that they don't know what you are talking about. For superficial religion doesn't know anything of being guilty of death. But to be saved out of free grace, one must have realized his sin debts, which cannot be paid. That is no condition, but a fact. That's a matter of fact. Now, well, Jacob stole the birthright blessing, and now this can be defended in a way, but we must never condone with sin. But then we should keep in mind that we ourselves are also guilty of that before God. He who knows what the remission of sins is will not be able to bear the sin in his neighbor, but admonish him lovingly. But let us return to Isaac's tent. Jacob had answered to his father's question that he was Esau, and that he wanted to be blessed with the birthright blessing. What Jacob is to receive from the Lord, he is going to steal beforehand. For was the Lord not able to prevent Esau from taking the birthright blessing? But Jacob should have thought of this, but rather have consulted the Lord in this matter. Now, however, Jacob goes on with his deceit. Yes, man goes on, mind you. If the Lord doesn't interfere, then a man goes on. And if the Lord doesn't prevent it, God's people go on in sins and trespasses. For example, look at Samson and David. But beloved, the devil knows no bounds in respect to sin, and neither does God. For one sigh of sin deserves hell, but the devil's aim is sinning. And he is the great tempter from the beginning. And Jacob was tempted to sin. The birthright blessing was at stake. Somebody says, was Jacob's state of grace also at stake? No, that isn't true, because there is no fall of saints. But he himself wanted to establish it. Whereas he knew God himself will establish and uphold them. And the Lord has more arrows on his bow than one. So He is able to fulfill His own work in a perfect way. But we read further, then when Father Isaac tried Jacob and asked him how he has found his venison so quickly, he abuses the name of God. He says, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Now willfully and knowingly he lies. Jacob is a deceiver of the worst kind. You know, there are people who want to belittle Jacob's deceit. They say Jacob only did it to get the birthright blessing. And that was true, but that didn't give Jacob any freedom to misuse the name of the Lord. Jacob didn't have any freedom to steal the birthright blessing either. And he who wants to approve of this deceives himself for eternity. But on the other hand, have you ever met that blasphemer in your own heart like Jacob was? He misused the name of the Lord in front of his blind father. And if you think that he doesn't live in your own heart, that blasphemer, you don't know anything about yourself. And there is a people on earth, beloved, that learns to weep bitterly because of that blasphemy. For God doesn't ignore the guilt. Don't ever think that. About sin, the Lord don't look through his fingers. No. He requires blood. Blood of reconciliation. That's the blood of Christ. And without blood, there is no reconciliation. For Jacob is not troubled by anything. He stands there and deceives his own dear father. And in this he abuses the name of the Lord. When we read well, we get a better idea of the lie spoken by Jacob. He says, because the Lord thy God. Jacob didn't say my God, he says thy God. He abuses God's covenant name, for it says Lord with capital letters. And Jacob doesn't yet know the Lord in that name. The Lord had not yet appeared to Jacob as Jehovah. That is a difference in the life of grace. When God has drawn you out of the darkness of your existence to his wonderful light, and then you know Christ, but the knowledge concerning the I am that I am, the faithful one, needs much more experience of faith. To take the name of the Father in your mouth with confidence. There is a fear. For when God has converted you, your faith is often mingled with fear in the beginning. For he knows that enemies are reconciled with God only through the merits of Christ Jesus. And a younger believer in grace likes to feel grace. But when his feelings has disappeared, then he fears. You know? All God's people know this. And he may call God his... He may call God his father, but he fears to take the name of the Father on his lips. Religious people don't fear and misuse the name of the Father daily, the name of the Father, in their prayers. They say, Dear Father in heaven. The true people of God isn't so confident to do so. But at the moment when the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, then we are children of God. And then God's people get some confidence to whisper, Abba Father. With reverence. But then they confess the name of the Father with reverence, because of the name of Jehovah must be revealed in the life of grace again and again. And that is not a revealing outside of Christ. No. Christ reveals his Father. And remember, when you steal what God is willing to give you out of free grace, God's exercised people will examine you one day to know how it is that you have found the venison so quickly. It's honest. Yeah, nowadays there isn't so much distinguishing knowledge. Distinguishing knowledge, no. No, that is disappeared nowadays. And for many of God's people have become blind, like Isaac. And do you know what is the cause of this? That they may flesh their arms. And just like Isaac, who preferred Esau to Jacob, because of his venison. For Esau's venison tricked his flesh. He liked it. And now it is true that Isaac had become blind because of his old age. Wrong. Quite wrong. Quite wrong, beloved. Isaac had become blind through his deep fall in Adam. And in paradise, there were no blind people. And Isaac was also blind to see the spiritual gifts of distinction. And however, he does not quite trust his son, for he asked Jacob to come closer, a little bit closer, come closer. And Isaac was blind, that was true. But he still had kept distinguishing ears. He had lost his distinguishing eyes through his own fault, but out of grace, free grace, he had kept spiritual ears to distinguish Jacob's voice from Esau's. And that will have been a wonder to Isaac, for to Jacob it was an accusation and a warning. For Jacob said, come near, I pray thee, come near, that I may feel thee, my son, and whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Now Isaac didn't believe his son at his word, for he heard that something was amiss. Yeah, that is quite something, a yelp in our midst. Shall you never lie to your parents and deceive them? For there is a God in heaven who hears and sees everything. And Jacob came near to Isaac, his father, his blind father, and he felt him, Isaac felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Now Jacob will confess, won't he? Jacob will confess his guilt, won't he? Now he will weep bitterly because of his deceit. Now he will beseech his old father for forgiveness because of that base act. But no, alas, Jacob goes on. Now that's quite something. Yes, it can go so far that God's children deny the Lord like the Apostle Peter. But then it becomes a short work. That the Lord saved Peter with his loving look. And now it is true that Jacob has not denied the Lord here, but he still was deceiving and lying to his old godly father. And now where God's word approves of this. For the law says, thou shalt not speak any false witness against thy neighbor. So Jacob was a transgressor of the law. Are there such transgressors among us here? Are there among them such deceiver as Jacob was? For it is not difficult to show sin in the sin in Jacob, but to live through my name is Jacob. That means deceiver. We should always beseech God for honest making grace. For by nature we will not own that our existence is so deceitful. By nature we seek to keep up appearances and to hold the truth in righteousness. And that's what Jacob did, but only with one difference. Jacob was after the birthright blessing, for it had a big value for Jacob's life and relationships to the Lord. Esau sold that blessing, for he only saw the value of temporal things, to live according to his own wishes and lusts. And with that, Esau willfully rejected the birthright blessing, and in doing so, he rejected God. For it was God's providence which worked right through Isaac's blindness and Jacob's deceit to make the blessing come down on Jacob, because God had revealed it that way. I have loved Jacob and I hated Esau. But be aware, God is not the author of sin. He directs all after his counsel, but he is not the author of sin. And what is glorified by Jacob's inheriting and the blessing after all? What? Free grace only. For when Esau comes home and must miss the blessing, he has sought the place of repentance, but he has not found it. Though he sought it carefully with tears. It is grace only that makes a distinction between Jacob and Esau. And not the sins of God's people, not their behavior, or the iniquities of the unconverted, but grace only free grace, because of the sacrifice of Christ that moves the Lord to be merciful to his people. And as Jacob received the blessing, Esau comes back from his hunting, from the field. But when he tells his father who he is, Isaac trembles very exceedingly, for then Jacob's deceit is known. But also the consequences of Esau's choice. For there he cries out, "Bless me, even me also my father." And Esau's people don't want to live with Jacob, but still claim the forfeited blessing. And here it is revealed and becomes true, God's own testimony, the elder shall serve the younger. Esau, the strong one, is put beneath, underneath Jacob, the weak one. Now let us not put ourselves higher than Esau, for that what Esau carried out, Jacob had to live through. For had pretended to be Esau, whereas he was Jacob. And how afraid Jacob becomes now, for Esau hates him with a deadly hatred, because Jacob had received the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And then Satan entered into Esau, for it says, "And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father are at hand, and then I will slay my brother Jacob, just like Cain.'" One is always after the living child. Jacob must die. But like the Lord Jesus had to flee to Egypt, Jacob had to flee also. He had to escape for his life. It was in his heart, "Escape for your life, because Esau is after you." But now he could flee because Christ had prepared his way from eternity. The Lord God said, "I have called my son out of Egypt." So the way was prepared. But Jacob couldn't see this, for it was a fearful way for him. Because Esau was after him. Jacob's flight, however, it was at Christ's account. God's people don't live for their own account, and all their ways are known by God. We have to finish it. May the Lord bless his own testimony for Jesus' sake. Amen. Lord, we have heard about Jacob and Esau in the first birthright. And by nature we are the same like Esau, because we have sold our birthright to the devil in paradise. And O Lord, but thy begotten Son has brought thy children with the price of his own blood, his own life, as a sacrifice for thee. and that we may be found in him, like Jacob found grace in thy eyes. Not because of Jacob, because Jacob was a deceiver. And that is also the case with us. But because of thy eternal pleasure in Christ, thou hast loved thy church with an everlasting love. And thy love we cannot understand, if we are subjects of thy love. And let us praise thee for thy love, and let us be faithful in Jesus Christ, thy begotten Son. And we thank thee for thy word. Forgive us in all that was not according to thy word, in speaking and listening, but be with us in the coming week. Keep us from sin and accidents, and give us a heart to remark thy goodness for man and beast, for thou maintains man and beast, and that will always be the wonder for dead dogs and big beasts who are saved in Christ. Lord, make us subjects of thy searching sinner love in Christ, so that we may glorify thee forever. Because of thy eternal pleasure, we pray thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. Amen. I forgot something. We have to sing Psalm 89, the first verse. Psalm 89, the first verse.